Good morning and welcome to our November 7th hour of worship at Harvest Christian Fellowship, Maple Ridge. It is trusted that as we sing the glorious hymns of the church, When I See the Blood, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, as well as others we love, that God will enrich your heart, mind, and will to love Him more deeply. Today's message, Purpose Foundation, is the first in a three-part series on 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We now invite you to join us singing When I See the Blood, and may God richly bless all that is said in our service today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, if you turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, again, I believe that this message today is from the Lord. 2 weeks ago when I was in Romania on Thursday, I had nothing to do, and I started to do this message. And little did I know that that night I was going to be asked to speak in Romania, and I had it prepared. And I think that we need to understand this passage very, very clearly. Now, before I start, I need to explain that 1 Corinthians was written by Paul as a corrective letter to the church at Corinth. Corinth is part of Greece. It is located halfway up Greece, past a man-made canal. Corinth is a very, very beautiful city. Donna and I visited there in 2001, I think it was, and many of the old buildings are there. The Agora is still there. The judgment seat is there. And the temple to Diana is there. And it is laid out in a very, very pastoral, flat setting where the farms were managed and where the business world was very, very easily attained wealth. And the church at Corinth was well known because of the passage through various ships that came into the port near Corinth. Paul the Apostle, later on, after he writes a letter of corrective measures to the church because of the many things that had happened there, writes 2 Corinthians. And this letter is a letter of encouragement to the people of God of their present standing in Jesus Christ. You need to understand that from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 to the end of 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing is encouragement to the people of Christ. Paul also wrote another letter, what was called the Corinthian Epistle, and he wrote this letter as a commendation to the church, but somehow this letter was either lost or was not accepted as canon to be put in the Bible because it was so similar to 2 Corinthians. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul establishes our position in Christ. And then in chapter 3, as I have read this morning, he starts moving towards witnessing that we are the aroma, or we are the fervent witness to Christ's great love. And he moves on in chapter 4 and he establishes our blessed position in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1, Paul now talks to us about the glorious hope, and he starts 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about our tent being put off and that we put on a new glory. And then he talks about the significance of us understanding this glory in that God is going to bring everyone to be judged by him. And this judgment is so imperative for you and I to understand for one basic reason. The judgment of God that is going to be held before the Lord himself is out of his own good pleasure to bring us to the fruitfulness or the completion of all that he has intended from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 12, he starts by saying, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but we give you opportunity or occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because thus we judge, if one died for all, then we were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we no longer him after the flesh. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us
unto the word of reconciliation. We need to understand that whenever we look at a Bible passage, we need to examine it in its context. Every time that there's a verse that we use, we need to look what's before us and what comes after us, and what is the setting of that passage that we're reading. We just cannot take verses and grab hold of them. You all know the story where one man took the verse Jesus said unto Judas after he had betrayed him, and whatsoever thou wouldest do, go do quickly. And then he took the next verse and said, and Judas went out and hung himself. Well, that's not the context of the passage at all. The context is that Judas went out and he sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And then the context, because of the guilt that he received, he went out and hung himself. So context is very, very important. And in this context, we need to understand what it means. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The context establishes three basic things. First of all, Paul, in 2 Corinthians, is attempting when he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, to establish a purposed foundation for the believer's life. A purposed foundation. And he establishes it in four basic ways in this passage. Firstly, he says in 5:12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you. And the very basic things that we need to understand when we become a new creature in Christ, that it's no longer ourselves that is commended to the world or one to another. You see, the basic thing that Paul was very, very much afraid of was that the people in Corinth would glory in all the activities that Paul had done in his ministry after he had been born again. One of the basic things that could have well happened is that Paul could have gone around as one of the great orators about the radical life-changing experience that happened to him. And he could have gone from city to city and to city, and he could have explained the miraculous great overture of this sun beaming upon him and prostrating him on the road to Damascus, and how in a very moment of time, in the privacy of his life, without anybody else seeing it, he was translated out of darkness into God's marvelous light. But Paul had a clear understanding. He had this affection toward what had happened, and in every one of his writings he pronounces with great clarity and great dignity and great fervency that it was God that had begun a good work in him, and that it was God that was well able to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ, and it was God that was his hope and his glory, and that it was God himself who had redeemed him out of his past transgression. He writes in Ephesians, and he says that we should not glory in ourselves, but glory in Christ, who has translated us out of darkness. He tells the people in Ephesians, in the end of the chapter, that he rejoices in the great work that God has done in them. And then in Thessalonians, he writes and he tells the people how joyous he is, how great excitement is in his heart, that they have received the gospel that he has preached, and that they have been changed by the power of the living God. In 1 Corinthians 2, he comes to the people and he announces that he does not come in the wisdom of man, but he comes in the wisdom of God. And he stands firm that it is God himself through Christ that is doing the big work. So I want to let you know that our purpose foundation is firstly a humility to the grace of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. I hope you really understand that it is a passionate gift from the living God through Jesus Christ, who was sent to be the Savior of the world. this gift was freely given by God, not because he had empathy, not because he had compassion, not because he had sorrow for lost humanity, but he had an unwavering confidence that the image of God that had been placed in Adam could be restored to full dignity if Christ would die on the cross. Remember what Jesus said? I lay my life down, no man takes it from me. Jesus said that I have come to do the will of the Father. The gift of God for you and I today is that we are restored to the full dignity, the full acceptance that God created in man when he first created Adam. The second point is this, that we are imaging a character of change. Notice in verse 13 and 14, Paul writes this, "For whether we are beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ drives us, because we thus judge, if that one died for all, then we were all dead." And the sobriety that Paul is talking about here is this, that there are others that examine you and I according to the outward appearance, how we look, how we walk, how we talk. And they say a Christian wouldn't do this or that. And we need to understand that our Christian walk is one of critical examination by others. But Paul rejoices in the translation, in the New Purpose Foundation, is this from his writing. First of all, we glory in God ourselves, that we may have somewhat to answer them who glory in appearance and not in heart. Paul wants you and I to know that the foundation that we now live is an imitation of Christ and God's love and his righteousness, so that in our outward appearance we may have cause to give witness to an inward change. You understand what it's saying here? That you might have somewhat to answer to them which glory in appearance and not in heart. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, if any man be in Christ Jesus, all things have passed away and all things have become new. Our lifestyle is going to be radically different than what the world is looking after. And so today, as we talked in Sunday school about the mayor, he is being ambivalent, waffling back and forth. A radical life-changing experience to the others would declare, yes, in my daily walk, I'm going to have a radical life change experience and imaging, because there's been something that's been changed in the heart. And by what they see in our life experience and our life activity, then they will start asking about what changed in our heart. Amen? Now, the clearest image that I can come up with is John the Baptist. Do you remember John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ? John the Baptist was a Jew. The Bible tells us that he went about with a sackcloth, and he ate honey, and he ate the wheat of the field, and he went from village to village to village. And as he went from village to village, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Now, John the Baptist was not appreciated by everyone. John the Baptist had a strange, serious conflict with Herod, because Herod married his brother's wife. And John the Baptist got in conflict with Herod. And at the birthday party for his wife, the daughter asked for a gift. And Herod said, "Anything up to the half of my kingdom." And she asked for John the Baptist's head. The interesting thing about John the Baptist was this, that he did not waffle and he did not give in with his lifestyle and with his claims to a righteous life for others and for himself. Now, when he was in prison, in Herod's custody, John the Baptist had the disciples come and he asked them to go and ask the Lord if what he was living out was actually from God himself. And the purposed end of John the Baptist's life was, is that his head was delivered on the plate at this birthday party. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We now have a change in our heart that affects our outward daily life, moment by moment. And so, when people see you shopping or driving, there should be a clear imaging of a counter lifestyle that images Christ Himself. And then he says that it is to the glory of God, and it's for your cause. And what it is all about is to remind us, in verse 14, that we were all dead at one time, and that someone died for our sins. And that is one of the marked foundations for our Christian walk. If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. The old things is any sense that we were accepted before God as we were apart from Christ. If any man be in Christ, then for your cause it is a reminder that we were all at the same table when we came to Christ as Savior and Lord. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. We were all equal before Him. The rich, the poor, the educated, the unlearned, the skilled, the unskilled, the red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight, but they stand equal in the need of eternal life. And it's for your cause, the brotherhood of Christ, that we stand with the witness that we all came to the table as equals, so that there's no pride in our position. And then the most important thing that we need to understand about this principle of foundation is this, that God sent Christ to reconcile the world unto Himself. Basically, if Christ have any different meaning to us than being a reconciler to bring us back to God, then we have a distorted picture of what faith is all about. Now, I know that God wants to give us the abundant life. God wants to give us healing. God wants to give us grace upon grace. And God wants to give us all these wonderful things. But Paul emphasizes again and again that all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know that if the verse means anything to us today, therefore if any man be in Christ, all things have passed away. The crescendo or the high point is that we have been brought back together with Christ to God. Why is this so very, very important? Well, you see, when we look at the world's religions, and when we examine in a critical manner the one basic element that everyone needs, hope, we find that there is no hope beyond themselves. I'm on a path to come to God. I'm hoping to go to heaven. I'm hoping to be at peace with God. I'm striving so hard. The works are requested. But when we are new creations, new creatures in Christ, we have this certainty, the absolute certainty that our foundation, our purpose, foundation for living now, is that we have been brought together to be one with God and one with Christ. And Paul writes in Romans, there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. So, we that were dead in our trespasses and sins, we who were afar off from God, we who at one time were outside the commonwealth of faith and the household of Israel, we have now been brought to God through Christ's shedding of His blood, like we celebrated this morning, and we have absolute, unwavering confidence that at this very distinct moment in history, we are reconciled back to God, and there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a powerful, wonderful meaning? You stand fully accepted by God. And Paul tells us in Hebrews that this relationship is a one-time completed effort where we stand fully in Him. And the last point that I want to make about our purpose foundation is this. Notice that in verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I want to let you know that the word here, he is a new creature, is a continuous process. It is not something that is stagnant, where we reach a certain level and we just walk on that plateau, never ever having a greater affection or relationship with God. The Bible tells us that we are being changed from glory to glory, from glory to glory, the image of God being perfected in us. I think of the glorious passage that we have in 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking after craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So we have renounced the hidden things, but we continuously walk, manifesting the truth of God, commending ourselves to every man in the sight of God. And that is the first element of being new creations in Christ. That as we humble ourselves, and as we see God's transforming work to give us a walking stance or position with integrity, that God has done something to us, and then as we image the freedom from being condemned by the world, that we're not all that we should be, could be, or would be. We thank God that we're not what we were in the past. We've been changed from glory to glory to glory. And as new creatures in Christ now, we continuously model out that glorification from day to day to day to day, to be better, more well-established images of Christ as we walk as His dear children in love, in light, and in wisdom. You see, my greatest fear for many believers is that they whip themselves, or they become disheartened, or they abandon themselves to the circumstance, saying, I'm just not what I should be in Christ. I've got to work harder and harder and harder at it. The implication here is not that you have to work harder at it. It's that you understand that the process of becoming a new creature in Christ is lengthy, time-consuming, sometimes difficult. But the imaging of Christ is done in the power of God, as we understand that it's not a work of righteousness that we do. Rather, as we work out our own salvation, because we know that it is God that is working in us continuously, then we become strengthened and invigorated to stand up for Christ and do the will of the Father. If we have any other foundation than Christ and God working in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we get on the treadmill of tedious demands that lead us to a life of vanity, futility, despair, and desperation. But now, because it is Christ that works in us, we are new creations in Him. Old things have passed away, and all things are becoming new. Now, next week I want to talk about the purpose fixation. What does it mean when we talk about old things have passed away and new things have become new? And then in 2 weeks I want to talk to you about the new formation. What is the purpose for us being translated out of old things to new things in Christ? Why would God come to do that? And I want to let you know that it's all, again, to the praise of His glory, so that we may be His image, reconciling the world through the gospel to others, that they may know the peace of God like we do too. So today, as you leave in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the comfort of His strength, I want you to know it is not you or I that are being elevated. It is God's love and grace as He has made us these new creatures in Him, all to the praise of His glory. So today, in closing, I want to sing that wonderful song, Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus. Thank you. God richly bless you for taking the time to listen to this CD. It is trusted that your heart has been edified to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we can be of any assistance to you in praying for you or speaking into your life the love of Christ, please do not hesitate to email me at nesler@aol.com. Or if you have a special prayer request that you would like to get to us directly, you may phone me at 604-760-7552. On behalf of the congregation at Harvest Church, Maple Ridge, I invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our regularly scheduled services. On the first and third Sunday evenings at 6:30, we have our hymn sing and our film night. You are cordially invited to join us if you are in the area. Remember, the supreme love of Christ is exemplified through a godly life of submission that is always followed through with obedience to His call. God richly bless you, yours in Christ, as we work together with Him for kingdom advancement.